See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, September 6, 2023. I said last hour, it's not our job to tell you what to think or how to think. That's Mika Brzezinski's job, according to her. I'm sure her father told her that. And she takes that job very seriously. But I think that, you know, maybe we can be helpful in directing attention to things that maybe we should, we would do well to look at or investigate if our curiosity is piqued in such a way that, you know, we feel compelled to do so. And this is a weird age where there's so much competing for our attention. And you look around now and everybody's talking about war. You know, is it World War III? Is it Civil War here? You know, everybody's getting thorny. We're seeing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I say it's a wild and dystopic ride, but you know, how wild and dystopic? I mean, just look in any direction. The fact that we have the catastrophe happening on Maui, and there are billions of dollars being allocated to Ukraine that are going to, you know, corruption, essentially, just like straight into the hands of corruption. But are we surprised? I mean, I still keep thinking about that interview, Joe Biden, a conversation with former Vice President Joe Biden. And Michael Carpenter. Well, what do you know? Son of a gun. He got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. Say, hey, you know, you guys want the $1 billion or not? I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee, and I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So I said, you know what? You're not getting the $1 billion. He said, hey, you're not the president. I said, you know what? Call him. Everybody laughs. I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. And I said, you know what? Getting on the plane in like 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired before I leave, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a gun. He got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid at the time. That guy somehow made his way into the White House. Again, I go back to Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers. How about in the NASB, furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. So it's not a surprise. Not a surprise. That we're seeing this. Unfortunately, this is not, you know, we didn't get here overnight, and we don't, you know, the remedy doesn't, it's not, and, you know, an instant remedy. This is a character defect. And, you know, we could just go on and on about that, couldn't we? How we have turned a blind eye to exploiting disparities around the world. I mean, the things that we can find just on Wikipedia. Edward Bernays. And the exploits. Public relations. You know, what's his name? Adam Curtis told us 20 years ago. It's been 20 years almost. What, next year? I think it was 2004. Century of the South. It's been a generation. Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, public relations propaganda specialist, the idol of Joseph Goebbels. You know, on his Wikipedia page, let's see. Was an American theorist, considered a pioneer in the field of public relations and propaganda, and referred to in his obituary as the father of public relations. Actually, that was Ivy Lee first, but whatever. His best-known campaigns include a 1929 effort to promote female smoking by branding cigarettes as feminist torches of freedom because, you know, they had a phallic symbolism. Speaking of True Stream Media video, did no one bother to look up this word? And like I said, hey, brought to you by Amazon. Right, Jeff Bezos? I digress. And his work for the United Fruit Company in the 1950s connected with the CIA-orchestrated overthrow of the democratically elected Guatemalan government in 1954. Oh, wait, that was a CIA-orchestrated covert regime change action for United Fruit Company, a private company. Hey, you know what? We don't like what's going on over here. And you know, those kinds of exploits. Let's see, notable clients and campaigns. Further information. This is the big entry over here, but, you know, Bernays used his used ideas of his uncle, Sigmund Freud, to help convince the public, among other things, that bacon and eggs was the true all-American breakfast. In the 1930s, his Dixie Cup campaign was designed to convince consumers that only disposable cups were sanitary. By linking the imagery of an overflowing cup with subliminal images of genitalia and venereal disease. I mean, he's a wonderful guy, you know. Not dishonest at all. He was publicity director of for the 1939 New York World's Fair. There's more. Political clients. Nonprofit clients. Freud. Tobacco, Torches of Freedom, Green Ball, Modus Operandi, United Fruit in Guatemala, techniques, third parties, scientific approach, etc., etc. But then there's the public relations campaigns of Edward Bernays, propaganda, social engineering is what they were, cigarettes, water fluoridation, food, political propaganda, hygiene, event promotion. This has become a cottage industry. What do you mean? Go to crowdsondemand.com and you'll see what I mean. Your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events. Services available nationwide. Hire demonstrators. Are you looking to create a buzz anywhere in the United States? At Crowds on Demand, we provide our clients with protests, rallies, flash mobs, paparazzi events, and other inventive PR stunts. What we do. Celebrity events, protests, rallies, and advocacy. Who pays for that? Corporate events and audiences. You know, if Kofor Black isn't a part of Crowds on Demand, he needs to call and demand remuneration for, you know, stealing his thunder. The gloves come off. There was a before 9/11 and after 9/11. After 9/11, the gloves come off. By the way, agency types, alphabet soup types, if you need something done covertly, off the books, can't be traced back to you, call Kofor Black. He's your guy. And friends. So this is a cottage industry. You know, public relations is a field of university study, which isn't surprising because if people really understood what the university system, the Neoplatonic university system represented, it's very, I would call it communist, it's very satanic in nature. It's the camel's nose under the tent. And then you have participation bias, or the, you know, the IKEA effect, effort justification bias. You've spent your whole life investing yourself, your time, your money, ideologically into this system. People become, you know, they're inextricably linked to this system. No wonder they have such a hard time renouncing their kidnapper. And you can go read about, you know, where all this stuff comes from, the real movers and shakers. John Taylor Gatto did a magnificent job of documenting it for us. Charlotte Isserby similarly, and many others. And yet, we're not good at the telephone game, apparently. We can't get word from, you know, it's like there's a condemned mine shaft and we have a line of folks. You know, we have this human chain down the mine shaft, and the guy that's looking down the mine shaft says, oh my gosh, it's about to cave in. The whole thing is about to cave in. Tell everyone, you know, back to daylight, so to speak, and let's get everybody out quick. But we just can't seem to get word back to, you know, the back of the line or the front of the line, depending on how you're looking at it. And here we are. It's crazy. So public relations is a field of study, a field of industry and endeavor. You know, the image makers are big in politics, obviously. Everybody's got one. It's a cottage industry that never goes away. It just gets bigger. There are the, you know, speaking of, you know, the article that I mentioned in the first hour, the Guardian article by none other than the author of Disaster Capitalism herself, Naomi Klein. There are all of those organizations. Disaster capitalism is such big business that there are the what do you call them? Crisis management companies. Again, another burgeoning cottage industry. You know, we see those folks roll out, come out of the from behind the fridge after things like what happened in Las Vegas. Speaking of connections to Maui, curious connections. John Pelletier, right? Chief of police who doesn't want to answer questions. You know, I seem to recall in the not so distant past, about, what was it, 3 years ago or so, John Pelletier and his folks didn't want to answer questions then either. That's funny. You wonder how these people get rehired. Is there like a black market for these kinds of people? Put your resume on the dark web somewhere and, you know, No, you're just the kind of guy we want. You're compromised, and we know you won't say anything. We know you'll take the money. We know you're dirty, and you'll do what you're told. So wait, it seems. Maybe that's reaching, but gosh, doesn't it seem that way? How does a guy disgraced by what happened in Las Vegas get hired again? Anywhere, let alone as chief of police. Why isn't he washing dishes somewhere? It's insane to see what's happening. So I'm reminded, we've played that clip a million times through COVID, you know, Ursula von der Leyen talking about stakeholders. I really want to play that again. And I think we should. Where do we have time right now? Let's see. See if I can make that happen quickly. It's insane. So let me just preface this by saying, you know, Larry sent me Diane West's article. Thank you, Larry. Lahaina mayor won't say where he was during the fire. And, you know, all of the shuffling dishonesty, the reason why I mentioned, you know, some of the things that I said, you know, it reminds me of Orwell's Politics in the English Language, published back in, what was it, 1946, I think. And he says, these five passages have not been picked out because, well, Eric Arthur Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell, right? These five passages have not been picked out because they are especially bad. I could have quoted far worse if I had chosen, but because they illustrate various of the mental vices from which we now suffer. They are a little below the average, but are fairly representative examples. I number them so that I can refer back to them when necessary. Number four is the communist pamphlet, All the Best People, from the gentlemen's clubs and all the frantic fascist captains united in common hatred of socialism and bestial horror that the rising tide of the mass revolutionary movement have turned to acts of provocation, to foul incendiarism, to medieval legends of poisoned wells, to legalize their own destruction of proletarian organizations and rouse the agitated petty bourgeoisie. To chauvinistic fervor on behalf of the fight against the revolutionary way out of the crisis. That's quite a mouthful. That's number four. Let's see. Let's include number one, Harold Lasky, who's a fun guy. I am not indeed sure whether it is not true to say, it's a fun reversal of language, that the Milton, who once seemed not unlike a 17th century Shelley, had not become, out of an experience even more bitter in each year, more alien to the founder of that Jesuit sect which nothing could induce him to tolerate. Oh, goodness. So, what's the point here? The point is, skipping down toward the end of Politics in the English Language, Orwell wrote, the inflated style itself is a kind of euphemism. A mass of Latin words falls upon the facts like soft snow, blurring the outline and covering up all the details. And I think of all of these guys that won't answer questions, you know, like John Pelletier or Richard Bisson or Josh Green. Nobody seems to know where they were, or who was in charge, or who's responsible for the catastrophic failure in Maui. Who will be held accountable? Someone, more than just someone, should be held accountable. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, feels it's good getting used. Boy, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. That I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through.
Welcome back. Now, I think I want to back up before I finish with the George Orwell citation from Politics in the English Language. Just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, let's see. Yeah. I think we just do it from the beginning almost. There's a broader point where I was getting to. I just give you a little excerpt. Eric Arthur Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell, in Politics in the English Language, he wrote, "The inflated style itself," we'll do this first, then we'll do the clip in the next segment. "The inflated style itself is a kind of euphemism. A mass of Latin words falls upon the facts like soft snow, blurring the outline and covering up all the details." It's, you know, you start thinking about this stuff. Who is it? Richard Vobes, I think, his YouTube channel. He's been doing some videos talking about this stuff, you know, and I think he did one recently about casting spells, spell casting. John in Tennessee used to talk about this. You know, kids learn spelling from a very young age. We have spelling contests. And you listen to some of these people. Some people have a cadence. Barack Obama, Vivek Ramaswamy has a very Obama-esque cadence, which is why I mentioned Buddy Brown's video about the Trojan horse. RFK Jr., possible Trojan horse? Maybe. I mean, people have expressed concerns about Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. I have not denied that there is concern, no matter who it is, but we shouldn't be engaging in hero worship. That's not the point. Exodus 18:21 is the quintessential example of how to select leadership, because Moses is the guy. Who better than Moses to be leading the people? But he's overwhelmed. He can't do it all himself. So what is the, you know, order of the day? Now, when Moses' father-in-law, this is Exodus 18:14, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? How long can that go on?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between someone and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law then said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then admonish them about the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that they will bring to you every major matter, but they will judge every minor matter themselves, so it will be easier for you, and they will carry the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their places in peace." It's an insurmountable task for him to do it alone, but this is the way to do it. But what we have going on in America and Maui, quite frankly, is a symptom of a much bigger problem. And I'll get to that on the other side of the break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Everything that's happening everywhere in this country is a symptom of a bigger problem. In a society that trends away from God, and there is no right and wrong, there is moral relativism, then, you know, who decides? And I keep pointing, speaking of the the communitarian bent. You know, Etzioni wrote on, and I still haven't finished this excerpt, on communitarian and global sources of legitimacy. Who gets to decide? Who's in charge? Who decides? When in modern writings these questions are addressed, they are often treated with in a liberal way. That is, legitimacy is viewed as the product of aggregated consent accorded by individuals to a given act, policy, law, public institution, or authority. Who's in charge? Who decides? Legitimated by whom? And legitimate by what criteria? That's what's going on in Maui right now. If we don't drift away from the Bible as a foundation of truth and reality and right living, shall we say, then these things all sort themselves out. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. That is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Wonder why. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Why? And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not for their benefit. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. They don't want to be convicted. They know they're guilty. So bear false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Exodus 20:16. That's interesting. False witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So, false, deceptive, deceitful, fraudulent. And, witness or testimony. This has become a cottage industry in America. What we see happening with people like Josh Green, Richard Bisson, John Pelletier. I mean, what a disappointment. Let's just set aside the conspiratorial aspect of all things, you know, that people can't seem to answer questions about their whereabouts, who was in charge, how many children are missing. Take some ownership. Step up. Be a leader. You know, Josh Green, you were the guy who said, I'm willing to use emergency powers to push things forward. Well, be a leader. Stop being a coward. Hiding. When the local people get together, why aren't you there in the midst of it all? Taking questions. Even Bill Clinton would do that. Probably. Barack Obama would do that. Of course, you know, speaking of the Bernaysian era, you know, I doubt you could find 20 local people that you could sufficiently buy off not to speak their mind or to stick to the script, if you know what I mean. This is the cottage industry, and it's a symptom of a much larger problem. When we move to different translations, thou shalt not covet changes a little bit, doesn't it? Or, what was the one that I was thinking of? There's an example. I don't know. Thou shalt not bear false witness. What was it? Oh, it's Exodus 18:21. That's what I was thinking of. So, you know, speaking of Bernaysian semantics and sophistry, Exodus 18:21 in the NASB, those who hate dishonest gain. Well, who's to say what's dishonest gain? Come on now. Versus in the King James, hating covetousness. That's pretty straightforward. One man's dishonest gain is, but you know, this is America. We've institutionalized these kinds of things. Speaking of thou shalt not kill, we are the tip of the spear, the NATO spear. Jeremy Scahill wrote the book Dirty Wars, and then there was a movie, and how many people have seen it? Noam Chomsky is right when he says, and I know that, you know, Pat in Texas would shake her finger at me, but Noam Chomsky is right when he says, who projects power? Who is the terrorist and the terrorist maker around the world? Because there are pirates and emperors, but they're really the same thing. It's a symptom of a bigger problem. There's a reason why the Josh Greens find their way into the halls of power and aren't run out of town on a rail. We're not honest with ourselves about that. Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. We must here return for a moment to the position which precedes the suppression of democratic institutions and the creation of a totalitarian regime. In this stage, it is the general demand for quick and determined government action that is the dominating element in this situation. Dissatisfaction with the slow and cumbersome course of democratic procedure, which makes action for action's sake the goal. It is then the man or the party who seems strong and resolute enough to get things done who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. You know, there are two sides to that concept. It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. It's fascist. It's patently fascist. It's probably going to have funding from Jeff Bezos. And it's just astonishing to me how people forget. You know, there are still articles floating around on the winds of how awful Amazon is to work for, how they're, you know, replacing people with robots and the conditions have been awful. People are wage slaves at Amazon. But you know what? Business is good for Amazon. They're replacing workers with, you know, the things they're buying up like Whole Foods and stuff. But you know what? Jeff Bezos gave $7.5 million. Where did that go, by the way? Let me go back to that article real quick. Where was I? The money from Bezos' Day One Families Fund went to groups focused on addressing family homelessness in the islands. So $7.5 million to Jeff Bezos is what? That's like, you know, what you find in the couch, in the cushions. Oh my gosh, I found 36 cents in the couch. Cool. So A, it's a write-off somewhere, guaranteed. B, it's extreme leverage. I'll get to that in a second. $2.5 million going to the Family Promise of Hawaii on Oahu. $5 million going to Maui service provider Kahali Akeola Homeless Resource Centers. They were among 40 organizations in the U.S. that received grants, which totaled more than $123 million. Again, that's, you know, it's a write-off. It's chump change if you're Jeff Bezos. What does this do, though? People don't think, like, what does $7.5 million buy? You're telling me that a guy as shrewd and ruthless with the kind of pedigree that, you know, Grace, Really Graceful, and others have documented in YouTube videos, for example, this guy, like Bill Gates, shrewd from 9 to 5, but suddenly becomes a philanthropist, a humanitarian. You know, he just wants what's best for the people. Sure he does. That's why he treats his, that's why the workers at Amazon are treated so well. He just wants what's best for people. Hello? Maybe not so much. Oh, but he doesn't control all of that. Uh-huh. What did we see after Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post? Freedom in journalism, or not so much? One of Amazon's biggest clients in the digital sphere is the CIA. That's just another coincidence. He looks more and more like Mike Myers' Dr. Evil character with each passing day. It's just, that's just anecdotal, but just another funny coincidence. And more, you know, like Al Roker when he hears Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Is somebody pulling his strings? I don't know. Anyway, $7.5 million for Jeff Bezos buys influence and persuasion. That's what it does. And somebody like Nani Medeiros is his influencer. She's bought in, man. I think she's having a crisis of conscience. Maybe not. But she's all in. Is she going to renounce what she thinks is a great thing? I'm helping people. Are you really? Well, here are the people you are ostensibly helping, standing in front of you, shouting, please don't let this go forward. Please stop meeting on other islands. Meet on Oahu. Meet in or around Lanai. Meet on Maui, excuse me. You know, stop meeting on Oahu. Meet on Maui. Meet somewhere close to ground zero, so to speak. Hear from those people. Stop holding secret meetings. Stop convening these, you know, impromptu meetings without the knowledge of the local people. That's just suspicious. Maybe you don't intend any harm, but you know what? It's not a good look. It was actually 21 years ago that Adam Curtis's Century of the Self was produced. Do we have time to squeeze in Ursula von der Leyen? She's lying. How do we know she's lying? Because her lips are moving. Ursula von der Leyen. Can we squeeze that in real fast?
So we need the coordinated research on the vaccine. When we have it, and we start right now already, we have to build up capacities to manufacture it, zillions of doses. And then we have to make sure that we can deploy it to every corner in the world right. in a fair and affordable price. And that's what exactly we're working on. For that, we need money and we need a global cooperation. We have this global framework now and we need the pledging conference on Monday to raise the 7.5 billion euros. This is just the start. I think we will need more over time.
So you say a fair and affordable price for any potential vaccine, but the UN Secretary General has actually taken it one step further when it comes to facilitating public access to a vaccine. He says vaccines should belong to the entire world, not to individual countries or regions or companies. Is that something that you would be willing to support? Should a vaccine belong to humanity?
Well, of course, everybody should have access to this vaccine. And that's the reason why we got all the stakeholders that are necessary. So we have the WHO, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, Unitaid, Global Fund, just to name some. Of course, these important platforms like CEPI and Gavi. And we're backed by many, many countries in the world, the G20. I brought the initiative to the G20. So this is necessary to really have a global approach, a coordinated approach in this important task.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. The great enemy of clear language, as Eric Arthur Blair, a.k.a. Orwell, put it, is insincerity. When there's a gap, what happens? Final segment coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Welcome back. So from Etzioni's On Communitarianism, or On a Communitarian and Global Sources of Legitimacy, he writes, when in modern writings these questions are addressed, you know, legitimated by whom and legitimate by what criteria? When these questions are addressed, they are often treated in a liberal way. That is, legitimacy is viewed as a product of aggregated consent, etc., etc. Moreover, focus is often on empirical questions, not for me. Whether a given policy is considered legitimate and what process or factors account for the fact that a given population considers a given fact or a given act is legitimate, much less often addressed is the normative question, which requires an observer to assess the moral standing of the act in question by drawing on exogenous criteria. In contrast to such liberal and empirical approaches, this essay explores legitimacy from a communitarian and mainly normative viewpoint. This approach suggests, A, that legitimacy is largely advanced by communal processes. Oh, you mean sociocracy, rather than through individual deliberations, right? Because we don't value individuals as communitarians, right? That these processes draw on shared normative cultures as their starting points. Can you see where this might lead in Maui? That these normative foundations are subject to communal deliberations, namely by moral dialogues, but are not based on them. From this viewpoint, the question who legitimates is largely answered by pointing to a variety of nesting, cross-cutting, and overlapping communities, including nascent global one, rather than to aggregates of individuals making deliberated choices as freestanding agents. Does this sound convoluted to you? Back to Orwell, Politics in the English Language. The inflated style itself is a kind of euphemism. A mass of Latin words falls upon the facts like soft snow, blurring the outline and covering up all the details. The great enemy of clear language is insincerity. When there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims, one turns, as it were, instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms, like a cuttlefish spurting out ink. It wants to hide. It wants to run away and hide. In our age, there is no such thing as keeping out of politics. All issues are political issues, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. This is 1946. When the general atmosphere is bad, language must suffer. I should expect to find, this is a guess which I have not sufficient knowledge to verify, that the German, Russian, and Italian languages have all deteriorated in the last 10 or 15 years as a result of dictatorship. And so, in the next paragraph, he writes, but if thoughts corrupt language, if thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. A bad usage can be spread by tradition and imitation, even among people who should and do know better. The debased language that he discussed, he wrote, is in some ways very convenient. Maybe we'll talk about that more tomorrow. But what is happening is Maui. We are all Maui. Hopefully we all stand with the folks there locally. It's a symptom of a larger problem. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.